Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You know, before we go any further, have you subscribed to our podcast today? It's always a great time just to get that friendly reminder so you can get our notifications, because we have great shows that are coming out a lot. And we want to make sure that you stay up to date and current on all of them. And we're going to talk about practice ownership. You know, like, are you a practice owner, to listeners out there, or were you one? Are you thinking about becoming one? So we have some great questions, and we're going to be chatting with our good friend, Dr. Jess Fritschel. And how are you, Jess?
I am doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, I always like to learn, like, everyone has such different perspectives on practice ownership. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about yours. And so Dr. Jess Fritschel has joined the Civetto team as their vice president of ownership opportunities. And in this role, she's been helping veterinary team members explore and navigate the variety of ownership opportunities the Civetto network has to offer, as well as supporting them on their path to becoming owners, which is great. I think that's great mentorship. She's got dedicated her career to discovering ways to combine veterinary training with her passion for business education. And she spent the last 8 years at Live Oak Bank building educational programming to help students and industry professionals understand the realities of veterinary financing and ownership. And prior to that, she graduated from Louisiana State University School of Veterinary Medicine.
Go Tigers.
There you go. We always got to give a plug to the vet schools. And she's practiced equine medicine for a short period of time in the Pacific Northwest. And she's currently based out of Wilmington, North Carolina, where she balances her time, enjoying life with friends and family, eating good food, reading interesting books, and going on adventures with her Australian Shepherd, Charles, and her horse, River. I love it. Wait, so talk to me about some good food. What's some good food that you're loving?
Oh, let's see. Well, originally I come from Louisiana, and so good food capital of the world. And just being in the South generally, a lot of flavorful food. But I'm a foodie by heart, and so I love just trying new things. And so I do have a good friend here that is from Louisiana and has authentic recipes, and so I still get that piece of it even in North Carolina. So
right, awesome. All right. So tell us a little bit about your background, your journey. And I just kind of did a quick glance, but, you know, how you arrived to where you are with Civetto.
Yeah. And so it's very much I feel like my career is a bit of a Ross Geller yelling pivot of I graduated vet school, went out, left Louisiana, went out to the Pacific Northwest, was, you know, had always been interested in diagnostic imaging and was kind of headed down the equine career sports medicine route. And in that, just, I loved being outdoors. I loved, you know, just seeing clients and being out, but I also had this passion for diagnostic imaging at the time. And then, you know, I was graduated, and the recession effects were still in play from 08. And so equine was just a little down. And so it was very much not the job market that is today. And so I was was a VBMA member back in school. And so I was being a good little VBMAer and using my network of people to, you know, find different career or, you know, different job opportunities, and reached out to a friend of mine who had started a bank to lend money to veterinarians. And just, they hailed from, you know, the horse capital of the world, Kentucky. Yeah. And had lots of strong connections. So throughout that process, I ended up getting recruited into banking, which was not the career journey I had expected, especially that shortly after being out of vet school. But, you know, really found a passion for being able to, what I loved about diagnostic imaging was that veterinarians were my client. And so I'd always loved that piece, and in banking kind of fell in love with that aspect of helping my colleagues be able to see something that they necessarily wouldn't have seen on their own, similar kind of to that diagnostic imaging world. And, you know, there was such a need for it, and I had a platform to be able to learn, to educate, and to really bring something back to the industry. And even in that job interview, I remember being like, no, I don't know much about business, right? And they're like, no, we'll teach you. And I was like, great. and that really, I think, served me well, because I had to struggle through it. But my struggle ultimately was coming from the veterinarian's perspective and not the banker's perspective. And so I was able to put that twist on it of like, oh, this is actually similar to something we do know. You know, I talk about, we look at practice finances, it's very similar to looking at blood work of, you know, what's the number? How does that compare to the reference range? And what are we going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And so really bringing that, built an educational program there. And then, you know, over the course of the last 8 years, the industry, the marketplace, the economy, everything has just dramatically changed. And really had found myself that the piece I loved about banking was being able to help that next generation of practice owners understand the clear picture of what that means and how to get there. And just because of the regulatory environment, the corporate consolidation environment, that really wasn't an avenue there anymore. And so finding Suvetto was really helpful for me to be able to continue that mission and still serve the next generation of practice owners just in a new vehicle, in a new way, in this new environment. And that's really kind of, you know, as we're talking about startups, it is a new environment. And so that's what's so exciting. So that's why I'm here. You know, it's kind of the journey so far, and it's been more than I ever imagined graduating from vet school, but it's been exciting, and I love being able to help my colleagues as much as I do pets.
It's great. It really is. And it's such a, you know, especially business side of things. I mean, we can never get enough of that. So it's nice that you have that ability to educate and coach. And, you know, to the listeners that are tuning in, what would be the first thing someone should do if they like to start or even like open up a practice? What's some piece of advice we can give them?
Yeah, I mean, it's really figuring out why you want to actually, and understanding what it is about practice ownership that you're seeking to gain, you know, more than being an associate. And so just like any, you know, good Simon Sinek talk, start with why of why is it that you are pursuing this path and what are you aiming to achieve? First, personally, you know, figuring that out for yourself to say, you know, is this about the autonomy to have my own schedule? Is this about building wealth for my family? Is this about creating a unique client experience? What is the real driving force for what this is that I'm trying to create and get out of this? Because, you know, you could go down this path, and if you don't have a clear, you know, North Star as to what it is that you're trying to accomplish, you could go through all this work and then still be unfulfilled. And that's not something we want. So it's very much of internally looking and trying to identify what pieces and aspects of that is it, because as we talk about, like, which model is going to fit that need best, ultimately is going to be a key piece of that. Because what we're seeing, you know, across the industry, obviously we talk about spectrum of care and how that has become more of a gradient than it ever has in the past. We're seeing that with ownership too. It's becoming a spectrum of ownership. And so it's really being able to dial in to, you know, the kind of three key drivers that I look at are, you know, what responsibilities are you really looking to take on in this role? And which ones do you want? And which ones do you not want? And what reward are you looking for out of this? Is it the autonomy? Is it the financial? Is it the ongoing cash flow, the asset building? What are you looking to get out of it? And then also looking at your personal risk tolerance and saying, you know, how much am I willing to put on the line to potentially, if this doesn't go well, lose, and that risk tolerance. And so your unique appetite for that is ultimately going to drive kind of which end of the spectrum you fall on when it comes to the right model and path to getting into ownership. And so it's that internal, what am I aiming to achieve? And then looking external and say, what am I aiming to achieve with this business? What clientele am I looking to serve? What services am I looking to provide? How is that creating a unique niche within the marketplace that I'm in? Where am I going to be? And what needs to be filled? And so it's that business model that you're looking to create. And is there a gap in the marketplace that needs filling? That is a key piece of the plan. The business plan is the model, and understanding what it is you're creating and why.
Yeah, the why. So it's nice to have the plan in place. And then, you know, you always hear location, location, location. So what are some things to consider when you're looking at location?
Yeah, I think a new aspect of that is location, location, transportation. And, you know, not only do you have to be somewhere where you want to be, but how do people get there and how do people access? There was one of the clinics we started in Dallas. They were having this back and forth over bike racks. You know, the city really was trying to create a really green friendly environment, but in front of a vet practice in, you know, Fort Worth, Texas, we're like, people don't show up to the vet on a bike. Right. there. They do it elsewhere, but not outside of Dallas. And so it's just acknowledging that a huge piece of clientele being able to access your services is the transportation. And how are they able to park? You know, you think about having a large breed dog that may be slightly immobile, some of the parking situations that a typical retail environment, if somebody's just walking down the block, that works just fine. But with, you know, the cat carriers and the age of your clientele. So not only is it, where are you? How visible are you? But also, how do people get to you? What's the ingress, egress? Is it really hard to access yours? The good news is that we're primarily a destination. So people are seeking that somewhat, you know, you typically have an appointment before you go. It's not just a like, oh, swing into the vet today. Right. So we do get a little bit of, we don't have to be in the prime time corner spot. Obviously it helps with visibility and marketing, but we don't necessarily have to be there because of all of the great digital tools to help people find us. And chances are they're doing that before they're seeking care. So the access, the ease of, it's so hard to get to you, even if they come once, but it was a pain to do that. Are they going to continue to do that? So yes, location, location, transportation are key pieces. And where is that practice not only located physically within the town, but also the area? So looking at the area marketplace and what are the demographics that support the care, looking at the other DVM to population ratios of how many doctors are already there, how many other veterinary clinics that offer the same services are there. So there's a lot to location. And then we add in layers of zoning. Are you even allowed to have a veterinary practice there? And if so, what services can you have or not have? Are you looking to board or not board? Different whole lot to unpack in that location bullet point. And that's where, you know, having people who've done this before, because there's a lot to navigate, but there's some great healthcare realtors out there across the country that focus on veterinary practices or other healthcare businesses that can help guide people in this journey. Not to mention, you know, once you start to get into the negotiation of either purchasing or leasing, a lot of nuances in those leases. On the phone with a landlord yesterday, having to educate them about, you know, vet practices, GP practices are typically not open on Sundays. Maybe we need to take that out of our minimum hours so we can make sure we can find a vet that works. And, you know, they didn't understand, you know, animal elimination, that, you know, we do clean that up pretty much immediately after it happens. They think it's just a poop factory, and we're like, no, we pretty well clean it up. So there's just a lot that goes into that, but that's also the fun part of getting to navigate that. Learn more.
And so how does any of this to our listeners relate to, say, Saveto, and you know, what resources are there for them?
Yeah, so it comes back to, again, these new models of ownership. We think about the classic, you know, old school model, and the original way of becoming a practice owner was to go out, hang your shingle, and start your own practice. And that very much still can occur. And there are lending institutions, including one that rolls up under the Saveto umbrella, out there to help finance a startup practice with a loan. And so that classic model is still available and you know, thriving. There's just more barriers as the world is getting more and more complex. The expenses are getting more higher and higher and higher, both from, you know, when you think about what does it take to start a veterinary practice expense-wise, you know, the obvious one is the construction build out, which we, you know, if you're paying attention, the construction costs are going through the roof. And then you add the fact that you need equipment, which is also delayed and more expensive. And then you also add labor in there and being able to pay people through that ramp up period and what we call working capital. All of those numbers over the last few years have just been increasing. And so the total amount to get started is increasing, along with increasing rents in different spaces. And so, you know, what used to be a hard pill to swallow as far as the number, which was a scary number, is just going up, and you add layers of student loan debt, and that traditional financing model gets riskier and riskier to accomplish. And so that's where we've been looking at that. Obviously, we've been a part of this marketplace saying, how can we create something new? How can we create something different? And a part of our business is we have a network of hospitals. And so saying, how can we continue to provide, you know, opportunity for the associates in our network to grow and become practice owners and support them through this, knowing all of these barriers to entry that are currently in the marketplace, and saying, what if we created more of a joint venture structure and a partnership structure where we go in it together, and are able to lower that risk for that veterinarian, to be able to get into ownership and grow into ownership as the practice grows. And so really, the sweat equity, but as well as them being able to invest their own cash and own up to 49% of the practice, as they earn their way into it, is a new model that, you know, is emerging. There's a variety of different other partnerships out there. So, there's also franchising models that are existing of, you know, you want the support, but you want 100% ownership. That exists as well. And so again, we're just starting to see more of this gradient that you see in other industries when it comes to these ownership models, for veterinarians to be able to achieve that. And again, that goes back to the why of, do you want 100%, you know, ownership and autonomy? And are you willing to take the risk to get there? Or, you know, do you have a lower risk tolerance and you're like, you know what, I don't mind being a part of a bigger brand where they give me the playbook and I step in and get to really fall in love and just run my team and practice good medicine, with a solid business model that I don't have to create. But we, you know, fully recognize that that member is out there. There's also the entrepreneur that's like, I want to go out there and build my own thing. And there's options for that. And that's one of the beautiful things about Suvetto, is that we support all of that in different forms and fashion, whether it's through Calico Lending or our VoVets partnership model that we're starting and have created and opened a practice in Dallas, Fort Worth area. So, you know, we're continuing to grow that and work with different veterinary partners to create this dream of, we're here to support you and guide you and help you, but not necessarily having to take all the risk that used to be or is still in the other models.
How many are in the network approximately? Do you know?
We're about 65 right now.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Cool. Yeah. So where can our listeners learn more about Suvetto?
Yeah, just at suvetto.com, practice ownership. And so we have paths for veterinarians, vet students. We also have a learning community called Harbor, where veterinary students, we have a great business externship experiences that, you know, throughout the school year, the Harbor business experience is there to help support and guide with business learning. And then we have a student program in the summer called SHIP, Summer Hospital Immersion Program, where it's basically a summer job externship paired with this business layer to kind of bring that to life, the business aspects and being able to interact with the clinic and ask the practice owner, as you're learning each, you know, progressive lesson about value proposition, how do you set your pricing? How do you, you know, manage your KPIs? And so it's bringing the clinical with the business and creating a really practical learning experience. And that's all under the harbor.vet umbrella as well.
Excellent. Dr. Jessica Trischel, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We love having you. Hey, welcome back anytime. This is really great insight in practice ownership. So thank you so much.
Happy to help anytime.
Yeah. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. As always, thank you for checking out this podcast. We're going to have a couple more heading your way next week as well. So be on the lookout for those. Again, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you for all you do. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.